What's the name of that song? How deep the Father's love for us. It cannot be measured. Cannot be measured. It is great. And it's important to hear those parts of testimony that just really were, I think maybe Fran was saying, where God just shows off. And it's good to hear those and important to hear those things, right? But when you're telling that story to somebody else, sometimes they say, well, it's easy to praise God in those times, isn't it? Okay. What about when Job said, even though he slay me, yet still I will trust him? And so sometimes some of the most important parts of our testimony are those times when it wasn't all hunky-dory and things weren't all in place and wasn't wrapped up and tied with a nice bow on it, and there was suffering and tears and bloodshed and heartache involved, but yet God is still faithful through that. Joyce is going to share testimony tonight, and I'm not sure what she's going to talk about. She's not either, she says. But certainly, you know, if you know Joyce, which I think most of you know Joyce, one of the things that I appreciate about Joyce most of all is she really takes to heart what Paul said. I've learned to be content in all circumstances, no matter what's going on. She didn't say, I've learned to be happy, but she's learned to be content. And there's power in that. When we can be encouraged by that, it helps us, because the truth is we're all going to face those situations where it's not all nice and neat and pretty and tidy. And so, again, I'm not sure where Joyce is going to go, but I want to say thank you to her in advance for sharing tonight. And then I'll probably have a few words here at the end for you. But Joyce, please. You have to hold it close to your mouth.
was in the military, and we moved to Okinawa for a year. I probably lived with him maybe a year and a half out of that 3 years. And in that time, a year of it, we spent in Okinawa, Japan, which turned out to be the darkest period of my whole life. If I hadn't have been afraid that my mother would be sure he killed me, I would have killed myself. But the Lord protected me from that. As lost as I was, he protected me from that. Adultery from my husband made me feel less wanted and not anything valuable. And then when I learned I couldn't have children, and that was the reason for his adultery, is because he wanted a child, I really, and in my, Ed used to say, you're so literal. In my literal thinking, the only purpose to be a woman was to have bear children. So my very purpose and existence was just kind of wasted and had no reason. And so I did. That was very devastating. So when I left him and came back to the States, I proceeded to go get a job. And I was 23. And I guess about a year and a half after all of that, I met Edward. I, of course, thought he was the smartest man that ever lived. He might still be. He knew the Lord, loved me as lost as I was. He had a wonderful sense of discernment. And I asked him one day after the Lord saved me, years after I was married to him, I asked him, why on earth did you marry me? You didn't know, I didn't know I was a heathen. You did. And you are a godly man, and you married me. Why on earth would you do such a thing? The scripture says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And the only thing he said was that when, as I got to know you and I saw your heart, I knew when you knew the truth, you would receive the Lord. So he spent 6 years reading the truth to me every morning. And sure enough, one day I went to a Christian woman's luncheon. And I met Jesus. And when they asked me if I was a Christian, I argued with her. I said, I'm not a Christian. I can't be a Christian. I've tried to do good before, and I failed miserably. There's no peace in this, and everybody knows heaven and hell is what you make of it here on this earth. And poor Donna, her name was Donna Cook. And she was a young woman and had given her testimony. And she stood there what seemed like 20 to 30 minutes, probably was 5, but she kept saying, did you pray that prayer? I said, yes, ma'am, I sure did. She said, did you mean it? I said, yes, ma'am, I sure did. She said, then you're a Christian. And I argued a few more minutes, and back of my heart, I could hear Ed say, a Christian is someone who has trusted Jesus as their Savior and is diligently learning of His Word and obeying His instructions. Well, I'd never done that before, and God knew it. And so when he asked me what I was going to do about all of this that I was hearing in that testimony, I said, well, Lord, my life's pretty calm and smooth, and I'm happily married, and I'm a pretty moral person now. I don't really need to. And he said, then who's in control? I said, well, I thought I'd done a pretty good job. He said, oh, really? And then he said, who do you think ought to be in control? That probably, I now think, was a beginning of my deep connection and understanding of the sovereignty of God. Because I told him, then, Lord, I think you ought to be sovereign. You ought, I didn't know that word, but you ought to be in control. And so with that, I repented of trying to be in control. I asked God to forgive me. And because his word says it's true, he came into my heart. And I want you the instant I told Donna, well, then if praying that prayer and meaning it means I'm a Christian, then I'm a Christian. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, at that instant, I knew that I knew that I knew heaven was really real. And I was going. And it got pretty exciting. I ran home and told Ed, and And the girl that carried me, at that time, I don't believe, maybe I heard somebody say they were a Christian before that, but I was 30 years old. And honestly, I don't believe I ever heard anybody say they were Christian. I was going to a Christian women's luncheon, and at a country club, no less. And these ladies, I just wore a simple pair of pants and a blouse, much like what I'm wearing tonight. And with that, they had a name tag for me. They had a place set for me. They greeted me, greeted me with a name tag. We're so glad you're here. And probably the reason out there on that side of the street is so enjoyable for me. I want you to know it's a sacrifice to come to worship and Sunday school, because I really enjoy that out there. Now, I like Sunday school and I like worship. Please don't get me wrong, but that is cool. And so they loved me and didn't even know me, much like y'all did. Thank you for that. In the midst of all of that, I was married to Ed for almost 40 years. And the last 2 years, he was very ill. And I remember the day, because he had been a minister and helped start a church. He had been hurt terribly, and he did not want to go to church. He teaches me from the Word every morning. The Lord saves my soul, and what do I want to do? I want to be obedient, and I want to get baptized. And he said, well, we'll do that someday. And I wanted to go to church, too. And so every Sunday, what seemed like to me about 6 or 7 years, that probably wasn't that way, but that's the way it felt, I'd say, you know, our clothes are already laid out, and I've already fixed our breakfast, and, you know, the church is going to start at 9:30. Maybe we could go this Sunday. And sometimes he'd say yes, and sometimes he'd, no, not today. I believe I did that. I remember doing it every Sunday. I started on Friday. Sunday's coming. And finally, one morning, walking across our bedroom floor, I asked him if we could go to church. Edward didn't lie. So, all of a sudden, he stopped. I can still almost see him. He turned right around, looked me straight in the eye, and he said, if it's Sunday, you're never going to have to ask if you're going to church. You'll go to church. And I knew he did not lie. So I knew from now to eternity, I would be in church. But the only problem was, for about a year, he was too sick to go to church. And I expected him to get sick. He was 23 years older than me. Older than me. And, you know, it's expected. I expected he would die before me. Probably not. And so, sure enough, we weren't able to go to church. He'd get dressed, and then he'd just be too weak. And we'd sit right down the recliner, and that'd be it for the day. And I was really hurt and offended because I felt like he lied to me. Remember I told you he said I was literal? What I guess he should have said is, honey, if I'm possibly able to take you, you will be in church. Otherwise, he said, you'll be in church. I thought that meant I'd be in church. So, anyway, we got very, very active. And I told him if he'd just take me to church, we wouldn't have to go back. They could just, because I needed to be baptized. Because in the Word, that's the next thing you do in obedience is you get saved, then you get baptized. And I finally told him, I said, you're a minister, you hold a license, you have baptized people, we have a creek right in our backyard. I think you should take me to the creek, I'll lead, and you can baptize me. And he said, no, it doesn't work that way. I said, well, we can make it work that way. I just need to be obedient and get this taken care of. And finally, one morning after he said we'd be in church, I told him, I said, and we don't even have to go back to church. We can go in the door of the church, and we can tell that preacher that I want to get baptized, so just go turn the water on that bathtub, and because I didn't know what the word baptistry was. Yeah, you can turn that water on in the bathtub, and you can baptize me, and we can go home, and we never have to come back. He said, it won't work that way. He was so right. I told you he was smart as me, and I never knew it that time. And so, sure enough, finally, in fact, we were baptized. That particular Baptist minister believed that if you weren't baptized Baptist, your baptism wasn't any good. So even though he had baptized people and was a minister, he humbled himself and said, well, Jesus didn't have to be baptized, and he was, so he was baptized. And it was extremely sweet for this young Christian girl because pastor was kind enough to explain that he was saved. He had been saved a long time, and he was joining that Southern Baptist church. But I was a new baby Christian, and we were baptized in the same waters. First I went in, and then they sang, I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. And that was just about the way I felt. I didn't know the words, but I was glad to hear them. Well, we had a sweet marriage. I loved him dearly. Time came and he got to go home and I got to stay here and I really thought my world was over. What do y'all become now? I've been the help me God gave in for 40 years. Who am I now? So I spent a week in a sabbatical and I cried the whole week and the Lord and I came to an understanding that I was his child and that although I didn't know what was coming up next, he had something greater for me. And so I finally, he gave me a week to get over his death. It took me a year and a half. I wasn't very obedient, y'all. It wasn't that I wasn't trying, but I was trying, but it just wasn't working. I since have learned that God is sovereign even over grief. And that was a valuable lesson. So when somebody is going through grief, be patient with them. They probably can't get through it because really it's God that's sovereign over it. And he's working in them to teach them something or unteach them something. And so finally the Lord relieved me of the deep, horrible grief that plagued me. And one day, because I told him, I said, Lord, this is just hard. I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm praying every day. I'm fasting, I'm taking Lord's Supper every day, I'm reading the scripture, I'm going anywhere and everywhere you tell me immediately. I don't know how to get rid of this. And about 25 years before that, Ed said one day when I said it was hard, he said, do you know what Jesus said? I was really young in the faith and I come back to him and I said, no, why don't you tell me what Jesus said? I thought, how dare you throw the Bible at me when I'm trying to be obedient and I ain't made it yet. And you give me that. And he said, Jesus said, the way of the transgressor is hard. I'm so indebted for that very sentence. I have never heard or said the word hard again that I don't immediately think the next second I'm transgressing. And there's only one thing to do when you transgress, and that's admit it to God, repent of it, and find out how to do it right. And that don't mean Sunday morning necessarily if it happened on Monday. It means the minute the Lord points it to you, you do it. And so anyway, the Lord helped me get over that. And a couple of weeks after that, I noticed that, hey, I have been just instantly in tears. This is strange. In fact, I really kind of feel like things are going good. This is really strange. And then I thought, this is real nice. I can live with this. And then I said, Lord, if you could do it that quick, why didn't we do it a year and a half ago? And he very quietly said, and what good would you be to anybody else? You'd have told somebody else grieving, just suck it up and go on. Well, I would have. I'm just that literal. And I'm just that point blank. That works sometimes. It doesn't work too good for me sometimes. But so in another couple of weeks, I said, well, Lord, this life is getting to be kind of a marvelous adventure here. And I asked him a couple other questions. And that's when he told me, yes, ma'am. That's when he told me that he was sovereign even over grief. So life got to be very exciting. I went to work. I got excited about living for Jesus all by myself, having my Bible study, just Jesus and me. And then lo and behold, I'm driving down 2518. And there was William I don't have words to tell you how much I love them. I have been extremely blessed to be loved by and to love to find me. There's people all over this world that have never had the privilege and the honor to be married to or love one man. And I've had two. I can't imagine there'd ever be three. But I wouldn't imagine two. So it has been a little easier because some of the ways that I handled Ed's death, I learned I was transgressive. And I have forced myself not to handle things the same way I did. And I did things differently. And I'm very pleased and thankful to tell you there may be tears sometimes. And you may catch me in tears. But folks, God has started a marvelous adventure in my life. I do not know what's ahead. I really don't. I really don't care. Because the Lord has it. And He has me. And He loves me. And I'm eternally grateful. I've learned some things. And some things I've learned is take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Rest in Him and trust Him. Because trusting and obeying is really the only way to be happy with Jesus. It sounds so simple. And the only time it's hard, in my opinion and in my experience, is when I'm transgressing. The rest of the time, it's easy. In fact, it's an absolute joy to serve the Lord, to obey Him. I decided a long time ago, after reading a book called Slave, that I really want to be and have decided to be. There's not an auger in my earlobe. But I decided I wanted to be a slave of God through Christ Jesus. And that's my goal. And that's who I am. By the grace of God. By the tender, loving care of Him. And I often tell people, if you see me inconsistent with that, you will not love me if you don't come to me and tell me I'm inconsistent. I want to obey you. More than anything else in this world, I want to obey you. So, with that, I give you all permission that if you find me doing something that is not pleasing to the Lord, or you think it appears it's not pleasing, you have permission. I'd like if you didn't do it in front of 150 people, but maybe. I would appreciate it if you come to me one-on-one, and if you have chapter and verse, I'd really appreciate that. I want to know, because I'd rather be corrected than do it wrong. And I sure don't want to do it any longer than about 5 minutes. So do it quickly. Correct me quickly. Okay? And with that, I want to tell you that in all of it, I never expected to give up two husbands, but I have a new sentence for them. For anyone that asks me and says, I'm sorry that you've lost your husband, here's my new answer to them. They were ready. They were ready. And by the grace of God and His mercy, when it comes my turn, I hope I do it as honorably as both of them did. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Joyce. You see, a testimony isn't always, doesn't always have to be, God saved me and now everything's been fine and great and goody-goody ever since then. And because what happens is you mislead people and they begin to get the idea that if you just become a Christian, then you don't have any more problems. The contrary is the truth, okay? We do have problems, but we're not alone and there is hope. And the truth is, we learn that this ain't all there is. This is only the famous line from my mother-in-law. Baby, it's only life. It's only life. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. That's right. Joyce, thank you very much. So keep tuned. Keep coming back. There's more coming. There's more coming. And if you would like to be part of that, you certainly let me know. Make me aware of that. But thank you, Joyce, for your obedience. In Joyce's defense, I thought she did a fantastic job. It's not hard when you just speak the truth, right, and be honest. But I cornered her this morning, so she didn't have much notice. But thank you. Thank you for that. That's what I told her. I said, you got to be ready in season and out of season, Joyce. She said, well, okay. But it is when you know him. It is when you know him and not just know of him. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And it's certainly plain to see that Joyce knows God. And she can honor him and serve him even in the midst of trouble. So thank you for that. But listen to this. I want you to be encouraged by this also. Because even though Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, he did not say, in this world, all you'll ever experience is trouble. There's good stuff, too. There's good stuff, too. Having loved and been loved by two godly men. And you're still kicking and breathing, Joyce. I'm not saying. But you know, sometimes we think we get this defeatist attitude that, well, that's just my cross to bear. I've just got to suffer as a Christian all my life. God is a good God, and he gives you props, and he gives you good stuff too, right? He gives us great stuff. That's what we've been talking about for 3 weeks, greater, greater, greater. So be encouraged by that. Be encouraged by that, that you don't have to have grown up in a Christian home and been born on the second pew, piano side, and known Jesus all your life to be used by him. I'm going to tell this story till the day I die, Joyce, of Joyce standing on the corner because she got back from C3 conference, saw the greeters out there waving cars down. So she said, well, I need to do that. She gets out there, waves cars down, and we have people in the congregation that very same day because she was obedient to the Lord. It was a great idea. It's fantastic. Fantastic. And the fact that you enjoy it so much is just banana pudding on top. So thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being supportive of her, and continue to be supportive of others that will be up here speaking also. So thank you for that. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that you give us your story to tell. And I thank you that your story that you give me to tell is different than what you give Joyce to tell of your faithfulness. Different stories, but it's the same faithfulness, same truth. And so, Father, we thank you for that. I'm amazed. I was listening to a guy who was talking about the Bible. You know, you look at the Quran, and it was written by one author in one setting. Well, of course, it's not going to contradict itself. But when you consider the fact that the Bible was written over centuries and over three different continents and by pens, different men used to write that Bible. And yet it all fits and works together is just absolutely amazing. Father, you've given us different parts of the story to tell, but it's all the same story of your goodness and your faithfulness. And Lord, thank you that you are good, you are faithful, you are true, and you love us, you love us, you love us. May we never cease to tell you, Lord, we love you back in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Y'all take care.